most likely we'll be finishing this up today. Things that weaken sound teaching. Now, if anybody needs a copy, there's a copy of the reviews, some of the ones, because this one's a very long study. And the reason why I put it together, all of these need to go together. Okay, I could have split it up into multiple different things, but I wanted to keep them all together so you would understand and grasp this. The biggest thing I want you to know is we are all supposed to be spiritual. What's happening to Christians today is we're not. We're replacing it with other things. And there's four major things. They're either going to be these four things or fall under the category of these things. Is ignorance, intelligence, emotion, and culture. And we'll be one of those or a combination of those, maybe added to some spirituality and call ourselves spiritual. And that's not spiritual. And until we really recognize what it means to be spiritual, and if y'all didn't recognize this by now, that's why when we do fruit, it's for us to understand what it means to be spiritual. Okay? When you get a connection and understanding of this is spiritual, you won't be any of these. So the review we are starting from, we must focus all emotions on Christ. Okay? All of those four things I gave you, God gave them to us, but they were supposed to be used in other ways. They were never meant to be to replace spirituality. We are not to be anxious, but give it to God. He tells you when people have anxieties and frustrations and stress today, that verse in Philippians tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but through everything, present your request to God through prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. And then it tells you, then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ. And that's exactly what we want. I want my spiritual walk to be protected while I go through these things. Just to give y'all a hint, something you're going through right now, if you had your choice, you would say, make the outcome be this. Because that's all you know. You're limited to what you know. God's going to take you the right way. And later on in life, I look back and I say, man, I'm glad he didn't listen to me when I prayed for this thing that I said I wanted. Do y'all get this? You know what I mean? You're going to look, and that's why some kids and some of us as adults, we look back and when our parents told us no, we go, man, I'm glad they told me no then. But when they told us no, man, we were angry, weren't we? We didn't like to hear no because I knew what I wanted and I thought it would work out. But this is why we can't be anxious about anything, but just present it to him. Allow him, wait on him. We are to be in control despite the emotions, right? We are to be in control not based on our emotions. A lot of us do things based on how we feel, but while true control is doing what he says despite how I feel. He tells me to love my enemies. I don't care how I feel. I'm going to love my enemies. You don't see that today. You see people still reacting off, no, I'm not going to say that to them. No, I'm not going to apologize. No, I'm, and we think we're standing in pride while in reality we're condemning ourselves. We must deal with everything spiritually, not emotionally. This is under the emotional part. Everything has to be dealt with spiritually. Your emotions have to be used as a thermometer, not as a compass. I use my emotions when I feel sad or mad or even happy. I look at it based on where I'm supposed to be, right? It's even give me that mic there. Oh, you got another battery? Okay. It's going dead. All right. Praise God. Praise God for technology, too. But so the emotion part, when I'm emotional, I can't allow. How many people go to something and when it makes you happy, you want that often? You lean towards that because it makes you happy. And that's what Satan wants. Because Satan wants me to be led by my situations. We want certain people to act a certain way. We want the weather to be a certain way. We want the area we're in to be a certain way. And we fall into that rut of allowing our outsides to dictate us. That's what's dangerous about emotions. It's what affects me that I'm allowing myself to be affected. I mean, some of us wake up and we're in a bad mood and we think the whole world should adjust to me because I'm in a bad mood. While godliness acts, it doesn't matter what the situation is. I'm going to be joyful always. Did y'all get that? I'm going to be at peace at all times. Nothing in the world will shake me from it when I rely on him. That's what spirituality does, not emotion. Emotion is based on the flesh. Spirituality is based on God. Our feelings are tainted, so we must know the difference between the me emotions and the his will. Two totally different things, okay? The me emotions are based on me and what I think. And I've noticed everything I think, and this includes you, everything you think is wrong. It's only what God says that's right. Amen? Only what God does. And we only want to follow God. Praise God. Much better. All right, so we want to make sure we're following what God says, not what us. Because remember, that's how the whole, when man fell, it was because of man's emotions and what man thought. Satan got her to look at the tree. When she saw that the tree was good for eating, then she made a decision, which was wrong. We do the same thing today. He said, if I can make them react based on what they see, not based on what I say. You don't come to church now, you're based on what you see and what you feel. You'll think you're doing the right thing based on how you see it, instead of coming to church to hear what he says. And that's how that whole dynamic works. So it's between the me emotions and the his will. God is going to frustrate worldly intelligence and destroy worldly wisdom. So don't be caught up and amazed by the brilliance in the world. He's saying one day you're going to look at it and it's going to be foolish. What the world called brilliant, he's saying, I'm going to destroy it. We don't want to display our intelligence, but our dependence on God. What people shouldn't see in us is how intelligent we are. And that's a quality today. I know people say that's a great quality, isn't it? The problem with human intelligence is based on humans, and it's limited. Now, I'm not telling you not to be intelligent. I'm saying your main characteristic or quality has to be your dependence on God, right? I don't want to hear somebody giving me their philosophical, intelligent answer on God. I want them to say, well, the Bible says, right? As brilliant as Jesus is, when Satan went after him, all he said was, it is written. He didn't give this big chemical and equation of showing how great and all this other stuff, which he is. He would have known everything, all the wonders of the world, but he just said, it is written. Or God said. Do y'all get this? That's what we're supposed to display, our dependence on God, not our own intelligence. Worldly wisdom adds to God's word, and that's a problem. The reason why we have so many other traditions and traits that somebody may go, well, how come I don't see that in the Bible? Because it was never in the Bible. Amen? Eventually, sometimes here, God willing, we will do the topic on hell. We're going to talk about hell. And one thing that you won't really hear about is there's a thing called Dante's Inferno. You'll hear it. I know probably you've heard the term purgatory, and I won't be preaching on any of those because neither of those are in the Bible. Those were man-written things that if you didn't know any better, you would think they were from the Bible. You know what I mean? Have you ever heard the seven deadly sins? That's not in the Bible. Okay. Now those terms are, but the person who picked them and added them as the sins was a man. Do y'all get this? The ones who went in the Bible said these are the ones that are most deadly. And we got to be careful on how those things are. Now, I'm putting that out there because man took his intelligence and took it upon himself to almost add it as if it was sacred from God. And then we get in trouble because we just end up following a man's intelligence. Godly intelligence seeks God and is displayed spiritually. So when I truly have godly intelligence, you'll see me in the word, demanding the word, holding me accountable for the word. It's all about the word. That's when you know somebody is godly intelligent. They're saying, I need to see this in the Bible. Person who's worldly intelligent is trying to figure it out themselves. That's why the verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means all I want to hear is what he says, and lean not on your own understanding, not based on how I see it. God hid truth from worldly intelligence. So the more I invest in worldly intelligence, if I try to be more worldly intelligent, the lesser spiritual I will become. That's something I have to keep in mind. Intelligence by itself corrupts. It says knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. It caters to the flesh. The more I know, the more I think I have on people, and the way I talk down to people, and the way you ever know somebody that knows something and they'll talk to you almost with a, oh, you don't know that? I can't believe you don't know that. We have this pride, this arrogance, this haughtiness sometimes when we talk about people. And instead of realizing that intelligence, God can take away at any moment. You know what I mean? One thing, once again, that's a blessing and can be a curse in a sense, is with my thyroid, it causes me to be clouded. So I can be talking to you and forget your name, and I may have known you for years. You ask my grandkids. I give them new names every day. But it's one of those of you go and I get clouded. And there's something that comes with it, and I already know it. And it's a struggle because you're sitting there going, I know this. And you'll get people that are on the other end that'll look at you like, what does it matter with you? Because they're clear. And the reason why I call it both, because it humbles me to know, you know what, whatever I think I know, tomorrow can be taken away from me. So I only know what God allows me to know. So intelligence isn't all that. Worldly intelligence and wisdom will be destroyed, as we said earlier. An ungodly conversation could mislead with things that sound good. There's a thing in the Bible that calls fine-sounding arguments. So if I go into a conversation with somebody not fully leaning on the Bible, they could say something that sounds good. A lot of you have read books where people have put stuff out there that sound good. And if you don't check it, you'll follow it, which many do today, until somebody calls you on it and says, this thing you're doing, where's that at in the Bible? Then what do you say to it? Well, I was told by Pastor so-and-such. No, it better be in God's word. We are to live in complete trust in God despite our understanding. That's that verse I was talking about, Proverbs 3, 5-8. The thing that separates us to be completely used by God is the Bible. Always understand that. When we show that we're fully dependent on him, we'll go to the Bible and do what it says, period. When I see people do other stuff, part of that is you're going to see the lack of the fruit of the Spirit in them anyway, if they're not following God's word. Huge part of that. We are to avoid all teaching not totally based on God's word. I can say that over and over again. You still get people that are following other things not based on God's word. Amen? All right? And we must rid ourselves of worldly intelligence in order to gain true intelligence. He says, you must become a fool in order to gain true godly understanding. Does everybody get that? All right. Last week, we showed that culture includes race, era, location, financial status, and so forth. Okay? It's so many different things. And culture has become dangerous. That's why when you go to different areas, even in the same country, you see different forms of worship, even though we're supposed to be one body. Amen? You go to some churches, man, they're excited, they're jumping around, they're shouting. Go to another church, they're sitting down, they're very pleasant, and they're quiet. Which one's right? Which one's wrong? And the answer would be in God's word. Right? Do you know what each of those mean? How that thing works? But we allow culture to do that. Today I'll hear people bring certain cultural things as if it was spiritual. Like if you didn't know any better. And I grew up in a church in which we got dressed up all the time. The problem was, if you didn't get dressed up, you don't go to church. That was the main problem. That's one reason why when we started this, that was not a requirement. By all means, you can get dressed up. You know what I mean? Don't ever feel as though not to, but don't feel as though you have to. Does that make sense? Nowhere in the Bible does it ever push that issue. Man did that. And that came from a cultural thing in which we push that to now people are thinking, you have to look like this to go to church. Right? And you never heard Jesus in his three-piece suit or anything like that. No, they came and they wore what they were to get the word. That was by far the most important part of it. I don't think he had a three-piece suit anyway. Things based on culture is based on man's philosophy and traditions. So you'll see added things that we added in the church. And if somebody asks, and it's sometimes this is why these questions are good. And I was one that asked a lot of questions when I was younger. You'd be surprised how it'll open up things. Hey, when do we start doing this? Why do we do this part? How come this part is added? Right? And church service, which part of it is truly from God's word? God created culture for men to seek him. Now, when people are foolish enough to think one culture is better than another culture, and that one is foolish, the Bible shows that, and it's a showing a hatred towards man based on their own. So when you hear these, there's even hate groups out there that have that call themselves Christians, which is crazy. You understand that? Because if you hate your brother, you're headed to hell because it's murder. Do you understand that? So God created culture, and all these cultures are powerful in him and equal in him. And I'm talking about where you're located, what you are. Be careful when you talk about other cultures. Be very careful because you're talking about God. Does that make sense? You understand that? So be very careful. He created them for us to seek him when we realize how flawed we all are. No matter where I'm from, no matter what I am, all of this is very important. And don't take too much pride in your own culture, your location, your race, your gender, all that stuff. Don't take pride in that. Just go, God created me as I am in order for me to serve him. The most important part is for me to serve him. Amen? We also see it's our responsibility not to be polluted by the world. It says the one of the qualities that God looks for in what we call religion is this right here. And listen to that. I have the responsibility not to be polluted by the world. He gave me the ability. Now I have the responsibility. So what does that mean? It means if I'm allowing things in the world to influence my walk, that's my fault. Do y'all get this? That's why I always tell you, do not play the victim. I know a lot of times Christians are like, well, I didn't know, and I'm just doing my best. Stop. Cut it out. You say, no. This is my responsibility. Right? If you did that with your medicines, you have some medicine that if you take wrong, it could kill you. So you'll go out of your way to understand how and when to take it. Am I right? Okay. So when it comes to life, why aren't we doing the same thing? God is very clear on how we're supposed to walk. And these games we play with ourselves when we go, well, I really didn't know. That's us lying. We allow ourselves to be polluted by the world. I watch some brilliant businessmen know the strategy of their business, but when it comes to God, we play stupid. You can play stupid with me. All I can do is go, okay, but you can't play stupid with God. He says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Do y'all remember that verse? He was like, you're playing games with me, and when you come in with that mindset, but I'm really trying and I didn't know, he's saying it's not going to fly with God. Does everybody get that? It's not going to fly with God. We'll accept culture if we truly haven't accepted God. That's going to be the key in your life. You'll be more cultural than spiritual. If you see yourself more culturally minded and not spiritually minded, that's a problem. Do y'all get this? If you're more heavy into understanding your worldly history and not knowing God's word, that's a problem. Y'all see this? God is not impressed with that. We need to know God. All the rest of it has to be counted as garbage. Culture distorts our understanding of God. By itself, when I'm just leaning upon the who I am, you know, how you hear people say, I'm trying to find myself and I want to know how I exist and how important I am and how great I am and what came from this and all this other stuff. And I'm telling y'all, before the flood, we have no idea what they were. None. Okay? Absolutely none. I know some say, well, they were this. Some say because it came from Africa, it was this. And some say meaningless. All meaningless. And we shouldn't even dive into that. Because our culture itself starts distorting the word. We look at the word and go, well, I don't like this because why did my people or why did my group or how come the South has to, how come the North has to? And we get struggles instead of just going, what God says goes. Amen? We will seek worldly mediation instead of godly due to culture. That's a bad part. They are not equal. You've heard me say this many times. They are not equal. I can go to a worldly counselor and go to a godly counselor, and I'm going to get two totally different advice. And the worldly one is extremely dangerous. Did y'all catch it? How do I know that? Because the Bible says that we are spiritual. It says, do you know that the battle you fight is spiritual? Remember that? It's not against flesh and blood. A worldly counselor only understands worldly guidance. So they'll give you worldly instruction. They'll give you, they'll point you in worldly ways. And it'll sound good, but they're going to miss the spiritual element. How do I know this? The Bible says they cannot understand it if they're not a Christian. Y'all see that? Okay? But based on our culture, we'll still go take the wrong advice as a Christian, be distorted and misled. Satan and false teachers use culture to mislead us. That's why church is so separated. That's why we have so many different types of churches while we're supposed to be one body. Amen? Unless you're some cartoon character, your leg doesn't live down the street, your head doesn't, you know, live in another country, your hands don't go, you know, you don't have that going on. It's all together and it must work together. When one part hurts, man, a toothache bothers the entire body. Couldn't, can it? Right? You see what I'm saying? Because the body's together. Why are we so separated? And like I said, we're in a season right now, this whole voting season, where you really see a separation. You see one group who call themselves Christians voting this way. Another group call themselves Christians voting this way. And we're very strong on our cultural stance and not on our spiritual stance. Why is that? Because of culture. We've allowed that to step in. Cultural Christians represent, the culture Christians represent is heavenly. Heavenly. That means we should be going through the same thing that the entire world goes through and react differently. They should see something else from us. They should see love. They should see the patience. They should see the long suffering. They should see all the fruit and go, how come it didn't affect you like it affected me? But why aren't we hearing that today? Because sometimes Christians act a worse fool than the world does. Am I right? We're busy cursing people out, telling people off, selfishly looking for self. And then go, oh, by the way, I'm a Christian. Seriously? Do y'all understand that? You don't realize how you're misrepresenting God when we do it our way, not his. We're supposed to represent heaven in every way and every time. Right? I should not see a Christian with an attitude in a restaurant. Never, ever. Right? Okay? Understand that. And we must stop being misled by culture and know the difference from right and wrong. True right and wrong is in God, period. Not based on culture. Culture doesn't distinguish what right and wrong is. I was watching something and they had a judge in it. And I had to really pray about this because judges, man, they're going to have a lot to answer for when they have to meet with God. Because are they doing it based on culture or are they doing it based on God? And judgment, they're going to be in trouble, especially if they're Christian judges. That's why I don't take the honor over the sacredness. If I am a Christian and I became a judge, I'm still responsible as a Christian. I can't go, well, the law says this, so I'm going to make my judgment on. Mine better be godly, so in most cases, I have to step down. Y'all get this? I can't do this because truth is here, and what yours is based on is culture. And all American culture is not in line with godly culture. In fact, most of American culture is not based on. And it is God that makes things clear, not culture. And I stress that because in whatever case, if you go to try to find deeper into this, you'll find it gets foggier and foggier. But the more you know God, the clearer things become. Amen? So we're going to finish up on culture, and then we'll end it with understanding how not to let those things replace our spirituality. First of all, the biggest problem honoring culture is we tend to mix it with and or replace it before worshiping God. That's a very common thing in which our culture, you look, the different things we have, we put and honor people. We have statues of people, things that people did way over God, instead of going, God gave them the ability to. God hated it when they did. Man is flawed because of this. It would be great if on the statues we can put both their achievements and their flaws. I can assure you, you would see more flaws than you see of their achievements. You would think much different of them than you would if you heard of their flaws also. Because the only one that we can put up there and they have no flaws at all would be Jesus Christ. Correct? By far, he's the only one. There is nobody else that exists, but you wouldn't know that because culture makes sure we take these people and we make them gods. And by far, that's dangerous. Mark 7, 6-9 says, he replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. Hypocrites, if people didn't know, you ever see the pictures in a play where they have the two masks? The one's like smiling and the other one's sad, and how that works. And because they put on masks. A hypocrite is exactly that. What I really am, you don't see because I'm putting on a mask. Do you got where I'm coming from? So he's saying, stop being hypocrites, okay? So when he's saying, God was right when he prophesied about the hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Now, how can he say that? Because we say the right things. We say, praise God. We say, thank you, God. We say the right things, but our actions show otherwise. Remember, your heart is your purpose, okay? So if I really meant that, I'm going to live that. Did y'all catch that? Okay, if I really meant I love you, God, it'll be displayed in how I live. Like humans, God is not impressed with I love you. God is impressed with me living, showing my love for him. Remember, he says, if you love me, you'll do what I command. Isn't that what he said? If you love me, you'll do what I command. He's saying, but these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Watch this. They worship me in vain. So in other words, you go to a bunch of churches and a bunch of places, and there's worship going on. But now when I do something in vain, what do I get out of it? Absolutely nothing. I went through the whole process, nothing. Right? Okay? So I'm doing it, and it's worthless. Now think about that. What if that's what people are going through? Some people are going through the training, and they're doing it in vain, in which God's like, I never knew you. There are people who are going to continually go to church week after week, but if they're not worshiping him the right way, and he shows this, watch this. He says, their teachings are but rules taught by men. Why do I continually tell you, please check me. Make sure this isn't a Keith Smith church. Make sure I'm not giving you what I think is right. Make sure you check everything in God's word. He says, because the people are being led by stuff taught by men. A man will get up here and say, it's okay if you, God still loves you. And you'll go out there and you'll do it, right? Then you got to meet Jesus. And you're going to go, Jesus, I heard this was okay. And he's going to go, when did I say this? Now what are you going to say? But Pastor so-and-such told me. No. When did you hear me say this? Did y'all get this? When did you hear this from me? When did you check in your word to make sure I said this? Right? All right? He's saying their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to traditions of men. And that's a common practice. We hold on, like you come, you're in our country, or you're in the north, or you're in the south. You'll watch worshiping Christ and the sacred things different in different areas. And we make them sacred, even though God did not. God did not. I remember telling a person when I said, they wanted to come and visit the church. And I said, yeah, come on down. I said, you don't have to dress up. And they go, oh, I'm not coming. I said, okay. I said, I'm sorry if that offended. And they were like, oh, by all means, no. And that was a tradition of men. What I didn't say was, and you can't dress up, man. That's sacred that you dressed up. No. Mine was, no, you don't have to. But a tradition that came from men that you won't find in the Bible, man, we uphold. And you'll hear some people almost treat it as sacred. There's a bunch of these little things that we do today that are not in the Bible. But, man, if you mess with it. And that's what he says. You let go of the commandments of God. You read 1 Corinthians 11:3 when it talks about hair and coverings and how that works. We let go of those because they're meaningless. And we hold on to traditions of men, certain holidays and the way we do certain things, not in the Bible. He was like, and he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. And that's what I said here, like hair. 1 Corinthians 3:15. I know I understand that verse because I'm not going to lie to you. As a human, when I look at it, I'm going, wow. Spiritually, I'm going, got it. That's why I better be spiritual. You don't want my intellect. Intellectually, I'll read it and say the same thing that the others are saying. Oh, that was cultural. Then why is it in the Bible? Amen? Why is it in the Bible? Be very careful before you distort something in the Bible for something that a man said. There's a lot of stuff we have done that with. Now, it is not the culture that God receives. It will be certain people from every culture. Do y'all see this? Okay, so if I'm not careful and I distort God's word into a cultural word, you understand, then I'm going to distort the people. I'm going to make it wrong. I'm going to make it, if you go to this church, it'll only attract this group of people. If you go to this church, it'll only attract this group of people. Instead of me going to every place to attract every group of people. Now, if you just read the Bible, it attracts everyone. So then why, as I was growing up and as certain people were growing up, you heard certain ones that only accepted certain people because it wasn't what was in the Bible. It was stuff that man added or taken from it. Acts 10, 34 through 35 says, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every, everybody say every, nation who fear him and do what is right. Now, why I'm stressing that is because if you didn't know any better, we are teaching that there are certain countries or certain places that are almost a shoo-in. They're going to heaven. But these other heathen nations, y'all get this? Now, you hear from man, we call some Christian nations and we call some heathen nations. You read in the Bible, every nation is a heathen nation. Check it out. Okay? He says, do not love the world or anything in the world. We'll talk about that. The world includes all nations. There was only one nation that was supposed to be a godly nation. Do y'all get this? There was only one nation that was supposed to be there, and that was the Israelites. Other than that, every other nation, heathen nation. How do we know this? Because we're not fully based on God. God is not impressed because I take some things from him and go, do y'all get this? Like even in our country, I think some people like to teach the founding fathers were all Christians. That's not true. Okay, that's not, all right. Some of them were what's called deists. They believe in a higher power and stuff like that. But that's why our main foundation was life, truth, and the pursuit of happiness. Nothing about God in that first thing of the Constitution. And just like every other country, it was based on man. And yes, it was heathen nation. So what we do as a Christian is we realize, no, he's not looking for how strong I am in my country, how strong I am in my race, how strong I am in my neighborhood, how strong I am, so on and so forth. All that stuff is meaningless. He's looking for one main thing. Did y'all catch that? Fear him. You have some very, what the world may call good people who have nothing to do with God, who are headed to hell. Catch that. Think about that. Okay? Now, when I'm living based on God, that's why I fear him. You'll see how I do things, when I do things, if I do things, only because God said it. It won't be based on my area, because my area or my situation tells me when I'm good or bad, right? Think about it. Stuff I may do here in Harrisburg, I go to Pittsburgh and do that same thing. I go, we don't do that, right? We don't do that. I told you I'm from Pittsburgh, and when I came and I lived in Philly for a while, so I stopped calling soda pop. In Pittsburgh, we call it pop. I went back to Pittsburgh, and I said soda, and they looked at me like I did something wrong to somebody. Oh, soda is what they said. You know what I mean? And it's weird. It's just a word, but our mindsets of a different area say different things and do different things. But we, all they should see in me is the fear of God. When I do and act, it's not based on where I'm at or where I'm from. It's based on him. Y'all get that? Amen? So that's why you're staying in God's word to represent him. The only culture that should be focused and recognized by all Christians is Christian culture. It shows in 1 Peter 2, 9 to 10, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. First of all, he gave you your identity. All right, so if you're a Christian, this is your identity. All right, he's saying this is what you are, so act like it. He's like, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. So there's two groups of people in the world, people of God and not. That's it. There is no in between. So either you are or you're not. And let me stop you. It's not if you claim it, it's what you display. Right? If I'm living it, then I am it. If I'm not, I'm not. Amen? Okay? It says, once you were people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God has always offered mercy, but the people who are not Christians are not receiving mercy. They, in their own accord, are trying to do their own thing in order to receive righteousness, and they're in for a rude, eternal awakening. Y'all see that? Culture is dangerous by itself. It's something that I look at and go, how can I be this in the Lord? Right? How can I make sure that as a Christian, I'm representing him to everyone? How am I doing that? And this is where the Bible comes in. This is what you're supposed to hold me accountable for. Not to come here and make you feel better. Not to come here and give you things and make your life based on you. None of that. It's all me to give you God. I'm feeding you what God says. You take it in. You're going to go home to first check me and then to understand it in order to apply it. And then we repeat. You choose not to do it, you got to answer to God. Amen? All right? I don't give it. I have to answer to God. How to keep doctrine sound in your walk. So we finished up the four main things. Like I said, ignorance, emotions, intelligence, and culture. And I'm telling you, if you look deep in your life, one of those or a combination are the things that you call spiritual in your life. Look real deep and you'll hear it. And you hear it all the time. And I hear people do it and it's hard to say. I can't stop and go, oh, that's not spiritual. You can easily say it by going, you do know that's not in the Bible. Or can you please show me that in the Bible? Amen? Because a lot of times they'll give you logic. That's intelligence. They'll tell you, well, I can't see God doing that. That's emotion. Or they're going, well, I really don't know about this. Ignorance. Well, we've always done that here. That's culture. And they'll fit one of those or somehow it'll blend in instead of going, well, it says it right here. Right? Simply put, you can't show me in the Bible, we're going to have a problem. Okay? Now, in keeping sound doctrine, all of the characteristics are very important for all Christians to have, but they must be controlled by the Spirit. They are never to be in control. So in my emotions, I better be spiritual. In my intellect, I better be spiritual. In this culture, I better be spiritual. And even in my ignorance, I better be spiritual. All of it must display God in every way, in which the spirituality is what runs each and every one of them. Being spiritual, we see in Romans 8, 12 to 13. It says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. What does that mean? We have a responsibility, right? Okay? And it's telling you, now here's everybody as a Christian's responsibility, if you're a Christian. It says, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. I wish they didn't put the wording that way. Because basically what it's saying, not to live according to the sinful nature. That's what it's saying. What is my responsibility? Not to live according. That means that's going to be an option, but now I have a choice. Does that make sense? It's going to be an option to live based on my intelligence. It's going to be an option to live based on how I feel. It's going to be an option based on what the world is doing. And it's going to be an option just kind of live however it goes. Just do how you want. All of those will be options, but he said, my responsibility is to answer to God in everything that I do. Everything you do to answer to God, right? You want to be able to go when God goes, so why did you do that? You have the answer. Well, because your word said. Can you do that with every aspect of your life right now? Or are you going to go, well, God, I'm only human. You don't give the weak answers we give. Well, God, you know what I'm going through. Well, God, you understand what the others are doing. At least I'm not them. All of these totally meaningless when he's going to go, what did I tell you? A strong thing my grandmother would always give. You know what I mean? She was firm about it. She'd let us tell the whole entire speech only to say, but what did I tell you to do? We thought the speech was getting to her and everything. We're going to, man, we had her won over and all this. And she saw, but what did I tell you to do? And we're like, oh, we're still in trouble. Right? And that was a blessing because he stood firm. And that's what God is going to do. See, we think we have God fooled because we give this, oh, just understand, God, what I'm going through and I'm crying out to you and this and that. And he's going to go, but what did I tell you to do? I gave you the power to do it. My son died for you to do it. I did everything in order for you to do it. All you had to do was do it. You chose not to do it. Does that make sense? So whatever happens, happens. It says, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. This is not talking about the first death. This is talking about hell. Get that. And he's saying very clear, if you live according to the sinful nature. So if somebody comes to me and give me some philosophy that's not based on God's word, I can't do it. I don't care how strong they push out there and they give me all this stuff. And if you can't show me what you just told me in the Bible, I'm not doing it. Y'all get it? Amen. However, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. He just described what a Christian is supposed to do. Did y'all catch that? In other words, my flesh no longer has a say. Doesn't mean it's not going to talk. It just no longer has a say. Does that make sense? No longer. I know when parents have control, when the kids really want to do something, go, ooh, no, I'm not doing that. I got to ask dad. Got to ask mom. You understand that? You see that reverence and that understanding of, oh, I'm not doing that. They understand that. But when we become wishy-washy as parents, kids will do it, and they get away with it, and we allow them to do it, and then we treat God that way. And right now, we're a bunch of Christians that are treating God very wishy-washy. I'm going to do it. He doesn't mind. I'm going to get away with it. God loves me. He loves you. That's why he's doing this for you. Do you understand? For you to live according to the Spirit. And not only live according to the Spirit, he says, by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body. So not only am I spiritual, I allow my spirit to get rid of Keith. Keith has no say. God said. Amen? I wish I could show you what I felt versus what I'm actually doing at times. It'd be a big difference. How I really wanted to react in this situation, what I really wanted to do, but it always comes back to me, but how am I going to go back and say this to God? Right? Understand that? We got to make sure that we are following him and allow the Spirit to get rid of us. Make sure everything is based solely on the Bible. This is a, you hear me say this over and over again, and we still get these people that use their ways to distort. I told you, a lot of books do it. It's very common. Books will add their spin, and in their spin, they'll throw a scripture here and there, and you'll follow the book because you like what the book is saying. Never checking if the book is saying is in line with God's word. It shows in 1 Corinthians 4:6, now brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, watch this, do not go beyond what is written. Did y'all catch that? He says, do not go beyond what is written. So when people go, yeah, I know the Bible says this, but, oh, wait a minute, stop. Problem. Got a problem. Y'all understand this? Because you're now going beyond what is written. You're about to give me something extra out there that you're going to tell me I can use. And man, I'm scared of that. I'm a little nervous about that. Because it says, do not go beyond what is written. The Bible says this. That's what I'm doing. Now you add something extra to it. I will not be with you. You'll be on your own. Amen? The thing that gives us the understanding of each other is God's word. That's why Christians wouldn't have to debate. Because debates won't happen. We just open up the Bible. It's as simple as that. The reason why there's debates today is because we stopped opening up the Bible and we allowed these people with their own thoughts and their own feelings and their own philosophies to come in. And then one philosophy argues against another philosophy instead of us going, but what does the Bible say? The Methodist Church just split apart over gay marriage. Why is that a topic that's being argued on when the Bible is very clear on that? Explain that. You understand that? But it is. Why? Because the church allowed somebody say or people say to come into play instead of what God's word says. Are y'all with me? Okay? So this is the problem. Do not go beyond what is written. Can't get any clearer than that. You don't show me it in the word, I'm not doing it. Right? It better be based on or from God's word. It is important to control what is taught. Now this is an important part. For the church to do this, and I'm going to show you what it means. So watch what he says here. 1 Timothy 1:3-7. As I urge you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrine any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Now, did you notice what he told them to do? And I remember, it, especially when I first came into the ministry, you never said anything against another ministry to them. Especially when they were more mature or they were established or whatever. Wrong is wrong. Do y'all get this? If you're teaching something wrong, it is my responsibility to tell you. If I'm teaching something wrong, it is your responsibility to tell me. I even offer, if you hear me preach something that's not in the word, take your Bible, Pastor, can we talk? Absolutely nothing wrong with that. We're responsible for doing that. But because we have not done that, we let these people that are excellent talkers to teach some bad stuff. Watch what he says here. It says, not to teach false doctrine any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work. So the church start arguing over stuff because they're listening to these people that are not using God's word. It says, which is by faith. They'll give you some logic based on them, not based on God's word. It says, the goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. Now, all of those are very important because here's the problem. Sometimes we'll get riled up over certain things that are not preached in the Bible and we'll ignore other things. You notice that? Like, if you went against this part in the Bible, man, I'm coming to you and I'm going to talk to you about it and I'm against it. You said this other part that we've not been following for these years and we're going, that's no big deal. Wait, what happened? Isn't it all in the Bible? So when I have then true love, which is God, pure heart, 100% Bible, good conscience, only God is good, so I'm driven by what God says, not with how I feel, sincere faith. Sincere faith, I do exactly what my Father tells me, even when I don't like it. Do you understand? So I'm going to tell you when it's wrong, when it's not in the Bible, period. I'm not going to make one thing more than another. I'm not going to go, well, you can follow this verse, but you can ignore this verse. Right? Man, we're really adamant about certain ones and meh about other ones. No big deal. But who are we to make those levels? He was like, some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. There's some basic studies and basic conversations that can be ended with, can you please show me that in the Bible? It'd be over. Conversation's over. Right? Conversation's over. But the Bible says. But the Bible says. It says, they want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they confidently affirm. Every Christian has access to show, hey, that thing you just preached, I'm struggling with. Every Christian should be ready to receive that. If I don't care my position or how I feel about anything. If somebody comes up and they don't get it, it's my job to help them to get it in his word, not convincing them based on me, not convincing them because I'm comfortable with it. You understand that? Praise God when somebody does come and say, hey, pastor, I struggle with this because I don't see this in the Bible. Let's sit down and talk about this. I'm glorifying God. Pride will make me get puffed up. What do you mean you don't see this? I don't understand this. And then people won't approach you, and then you'll be teaching wrong. And remember, that's one of the dangers of going to hell. He says, if somebody preaches another gospel other than this one, may they be condemned to hell. And he repeated that. I'd rather you tell me, pastor, that's not in the Bible, than for me to keep teaching the wrong thing. Because in the end, I'm really going to pay for that. Yeah, that's by far the worst sin, other than blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Distorting God's word. Do y'all get that? Please know that. So I'm careful. You come in to have a question, I'm going to listen to it. Check the substance of what you're being taught. Check it. Everything. All the time. I know y'all are going to diligently go home, turn off everything, and check everything I just taught y'all. Correct? Okay, praise God. I'm praying for y'all. But that's what we should be doing. Because this is your life. Don't just take my word for it. Or don't not just listen. Sometimes we go, and I know there's some people kind of very passive, and they're kind of going, fine, all that's great too. You don't want to receive God's word. You are still responsible for the test, is what God is saying. You're living your own way by your own thing. That's great. You're still responsible for his test. Get this. Know it. He shows us in Ephesians 5, 6 through 7, let no one deceive you with empty words. What does that mean? Somebody gets up, says something you really like. You go, amen. And it ends there. What should the next step be? Where is that at in the Bible? Because now I might have given you empty words that made you feel good. In fact, you really like what you heard. You're taking it and you're running with it instead of going, that's not in the Bible. Right? I don't see that. That's your job. That's what the Bereans did. While everybody else is getting Paul's autograph and everything else and thinking he's the greatest, the Bereans were like, yeah, that's good. We'll be back. Right? We're going to go home and check this. All right? And we get starstruck and we get caught up. Usually we get it because the person said what we wanted to hear. Right? But we have, many times I've gone to a sermon and they said exactly what I was feeling, and I ran out there rejoicing, only find out it was wrong. Because I went there to hear what I wanted to hear, not what God is saying. Amen? Think about it. Okay? It says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. He's not only talking about the ones that are teaching empty words, those who are practicing it. Right? You know better. Right? You know that's not what the word says, so why are you doing it? Amen? Being very clear. And it says his wrath is coming on the disobedient because you have no business being disobedient. It's a choice. I know, once again, playing the victim, we want to go, but I couldn't help it. That feels good when you can say that, right? It makes you kind of take the pressure off you. Instead of you going, no, you knew better. You knew exactly what you were doing. We need, like, plastic or something up here because I make more of a mess. Okay. But do you understand that? He's saying his wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Not only did he say not to be disobedient, I'm not even supposed to partner with a person who's disobedient. And there's many that are living in disobedience. They're literally not following God to do their own thing and think it's going to be okay. Amen? All right? Once again, you don't see this happening today. We still kind of live our lives. That's my buddy. I'm hanging out with him, so on and so forth. We must deal with someone who is determined to teach false doctrine. We got to deal with this. Titus 3:10 through 11 says, warn a divisive person once. So that's the first thing. Now, what does it mean, a divisive person? I know the Bible says this, but they insist on doing this. Okay, so you do it the first time, right? Watch this. Then warn him a second time. You go back and say, come on now. We talked about this. You can't keep teaching that, right? Tell him a second time. Watch this. After that, have nothing to do with him. That's deep. Do y'all get this? When you're clearly telling them, you know the Bible says this, and they're giving you some other weirdly thing, and you tell them, you can't do that if it's not in the Bible, and then you tell them this again, and they're still doing it without any opportunity or looking to stop it, you got to disassociate. You have to disconnect. And we don't do that today. We allow our emotional connections to go before God's sacred command. Think about that. Amen? How many of you have been in this situation and have not done it? I think we all have. Right? And we take nothing of it. And he's telling us, remember, he does this in order to help them, and we're hurting them with our emotional connections. Yeah, they're a Christian. They're doing this wrong, but that's all right. That's my buddy. And you're destroying them based off of your emotional connection and not, well, God, the Bible says, so I have to. Y'all catch this? All right, instead of following what it says, you may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is, what is his word? Self-condemned. Remember, condemnation is hell. Okay? When a person is self-condemned, it's, I know the Bible says this, but I'm going to do this. You're telling God, I'm going to ignore you purposely. That's why it says he's warped and sinful. He knows the answer, but I don't care. I'm doing this instead. That's scary. So the Christian has to go, you do know we can't be. When you want to get this fixed or you need help on it, I'm there for you. But the more you live this way acceptably, we can't, because you're headed in a direction by choice. You're choosing to go to hell. Does that make sense? This is a choice you're making. So that's why I got to warn. But that's the other part. Do we warn the divisive person? When I hear somebody teaching wrong, do you go tell other friends, or do you go to that person and say, can we talk? When they're teaching or when they're learning or when they're doing something that's not in God, do you go to them, hey, with love, with patience, with kindness, we got to talk. You understand that? We got to talk. And it also shows we need to continually check ourselves to make sure we are in line with God's word. Okay? In Psalms 119:80, it says, may my heart be blameless toward your decrees, that I may not be put to shame. Now, you see this prayer that he's saying. I don't ever want to get to the point where I get up here and think, because I'm a pastor, I got it all figured out. because I'll start preaching it as I got it all figured out. Even when I'm wrong, I'll think I have it all figured out. Y'all got this? But when this is something I pray all the time, I want to be blameless towards your decrees. I'd rather go, I don't know, than to go, well, here's Keith Smith's answer, and y'all better follow it. Do y'all get this? Right? It's better to go, I don't know what this means. Or, well, I know the Bible says this here, and this is, I have to hold that. Okay? That's why it says, I want to offer your word as being reverent. I'm just the mailman. If the mailman opened up your mail, not only would he be fired, he would get arrested. Did y'all know that? I just heard that from somebody lately. But that's the case. You know what I mean? Because no. His job is just to deliver it. My job is just to deliver it. Not to unwrap it and say, this one you can do. This one you don't have to do. In fact, try this one here. Here, I'm going to give you some more. Even though he didn't give you this. All that is extremely dangerous, especially for me. Amen? Okay? Now, the main weapon Satan uses against us is us. You hear me say this over and over again. He uses the world to influence us. This is why this is going to be very important. 1 John 2:15-16. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Now, this is why God's love is not unconditional. God's love is God conditional. Because if it was unconditional, how can he tell me not to love something? Did y'all catch that? And you see how people get the pride when they go, I have unconditional love. And they say that. And they make it makes them feel like, see, I just love everybody everywhere. But he didn't say that. He says, do not love the world. And not only the world, but the things that the world produce. He says, I don't want to see. And this love is agape love. He's like, do not give that love to the world and the things the world produces. Y'all catch that? Why? If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Okay, so if you truly have that embracing love of the world, not that emotional desire of the world, I'm talking about you live an action of the world based on the world. That's why sometimes when we almost have this patriotism, it can be very dangerous. That means we have a love of a certain part of the world over what God is saying. Because God's going to destroy the entire world despite your love of it. Do y'all catch that? All right, whatever that may be, you can tie yourself to a tree, you can salute something, you can do whatever, it's all going away. Do y'all get this? He's like, but if I have the love of the Father in me, I recognize I'm in a destructive world. I realize I'm in a dangerous place, and my job is to save people out of it. I'm in a burning building. There is no love in this building. There is a love that I'm doing to get you out. But look what the world caters to, and this is what makes the world dangerous. It says, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does. He just covered everything the world offers. Anything created in the world caters to what I want first. Did y'all catch that? Caters to what I want. Then it caters to what I didn't realize I wanted. Did you try this flavor? Now that's my new favorite. All right? I didn't know that even existed. And that's what it does. So the world not only gives me what I want, it gives me stuff that I didn't know I wanted. And then it's all about me. Keith, this is all about you. You are the man. This world is here to cater to you based on what you want. Yeah, exactly. And then we start treating God that way. God, I don't like the way my life is going, so I'm going to go this way. You ever hear people kind of angrily leave God? As if they're hurting God. Now, they hurt God because God loves them, but they think they're hurting God while in reality they're killing themselves out of protest. Amen? Okay? Not realizing that this stuff is dangerous. I don't want something catering to me because me is what got me in the position that I'm in. It's not about me. So why am I embracing the thing that's poisoning me with me? And they say very clear, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Right? If you got everything you want that catered to everything that you desired, you're in a dangerous place. That's why it says it's hard for a rich man to make it to a kingdom of heaven, because they're catering to self. I'm going to go buy all I want, do everything I want, go anywhere I want, anytime I want. If you're rich, how many of you right now, don't raise your hands, would say, this job I'm at, I wouldn't even give them a 2-week notice. I just wouldn't go in tomorrow because I got all the money I need. Now, and we got a bunch of people right now saying, yeah, while God is using the jobs we're in sometimes to train us, I'm going to put you through a trial to mold you to be a more spiritual person. Praise God. But if you're rich, you're going, no, I'm leaving. Am I right? Think about all the things you would get out of right now that are a blessing to you if you had all the money in the world. Correct? That's why it's dangerous. And that's what the world offers. It caters to you what you want, not what he says. Amen? So showing what a man desires is what it gives. How man sees things. So it craves your cravings and makes you like things. And man being the purpose. So it offers these to us instead of me living for him. Right? It'll never be based on what I want. It'll never be based on me. It'll never puff me up. Nothing good about me. What a wretched man I am. Right? Hopefully y'all are taking this in. It's very important. All truth, including how we see God, must come from God and not formed by us. It has to come from God and not formed by us. John 14, 6-7 says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Key word is what? The. Thank you. Okay, y'all heard me say it before. The. He didn't say I'm a way, I'm a truth. So quit changing things in God's word. It's him or nothing. It's him. He is the path I'm supposed to take. He is the answer. And he is the life. If you're not living the life that he says, you're not living a life. You're dead. If you're not following the path he said, you're wrong. If you're not going in the way he said, you're lost. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. That's only when a Christian is truly following Christ. Everybody got that? All right. Here to review. We tend to mix culture and place it before worshiping God. Please look at that very closely. As Christians, we should not see where you come from, what race you are. We should not see what your background is. We should not see your financial set. We should see nothing but other Christians. That should be it. None of that should come. Now, when we let that stuff come into play, we need to sit down and talk about it to make sure it's not coming into play. And that doesn't mean just forget about it. You know, some people say stuff like, well, I'm colorblind. No, no, he made the color. So we deal with it in God, right? Don't be crazy and just kind of blow things off. Sit down and say, we need to talk about this. How do we adjust this so it doesn't get in the way? God does not look at culture. He receives all men from every culture, right? So we got to see this. So be careful when you have your vision thinking this part of the world is more godly than this part of the world. Don't fool yourself. A lot of ones that portray themselves as godly are actually going to be the more evil ones. Think about that. All Christians should display the Christian culture. Remember I told you, if you read and understand, there's like four places where it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. We fit more Sodom and Gomorrah than we do a godly nation. Right? I told you, you go to some what we may call heathen nations, and when they get Christianity, they're always praying for us because we're a self-centered Christianity while they're looking to serve God. I told you, they went and a minister went there and the church didn't have any roofs, and they were packed, and it was pouring, and they were focused because they wanted to get the word. We go through a little thing in our lives. Nah, I'm not going today, right? Or we go and we're thinking about every other thing in the world, right? And we tell God, well, I tried. That's why they're praying for us. So understand that. All Christians should display Christian culture, and we keep culture sound by being spiritual. We show true culture by showing spirituality. Make sure everything is based on the Bible. Everything. I don't care what you tell me. I don't care how convincing it is. You better show me it directly from God's word. The church must control what's being taught, okay? And not me, per se. It means all of us. So if they're teaching something wrong, can we talk? I had to do this multiple times. Sometimes it didn't go off well. Other times, praise God. It had to happen to me. People come and go, remember when you said this? I'm not sure. And we sat down and we talked. This is a blessing. This is what we're supposed to do. Accept it. Receive it. Look forward to people doing it. Don't ever get so puffed up in yourself that you can't do it. So I'm telling y'all now, y'all have something that I'm preaching wrong. Come talk to me. All right? And after I yell at you, don't run away. No, we'll be fine. It'll be all good. Amen? And we must check ourselves continually. Check ourselves. Even after I do the sermon, guess what I'm doing? I'm checking. I don't go, oh, I preach this, so it has to be right. No, I go back and I check. I check before it gets taught to you guys, and I check it afterwards. Why? To make sure. Because, man, I'm nervous. I don't want God to go, whoa, what was this? I have to answer to that. And we must really assess our relationship with the world. Know your relationship with the world. Be very careful. Some things that we're calling great character and all this other stuff, is it something that's dangerous? Is it something that's showing that you lack the love of the Father? Check yourselves. And not just talking about the nation, anything that the world created. How is your relationship with it? Right? And finally, all truth must come from God only. Amen? Hopefully you've been blessed by this. This, like I said, it's a lot of information in there. But it combined shows us where the flaws can happen. Please take advantage of these things. Go through them. Check yourselves. Eliminate the things that are keeping you from God and grow.